while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, PHBC. Good morning. The Christmas stories, the Christmas story. So today we're looking at the character of Mary. And as Caris said earlier, last week we were looking at Zacharias, but today we're focusing on Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, it's impossible for me to look at the story of Mary without going back to the beginning. So I'm just going to read a scripture very briefly and then we're going to get into it. But as we get into the word, you'll understand why I'm touching up on the beginning. So I'm going to read briefly. You can follow me if you wish to. So I'm reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Unfortunately, I've brought my New King James Bible with me because it's. I love to read the New King James. So you might want to use your phones or for another translation. But if you want to follow, you can with the NIV. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And so there was God's first words, "Let there be light." Now, the story of Mary is not it's not a story of itself. It's not a story on its own. Mary is a character who's a part of the Christmas story. So her story is it's within a story, which is within a story, which is within a story. Amen? And the more I looked at Mary, the more her story got bigger and bigger. And I found myself in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was a woman, a young woman at that. But as I continued to read in the book of Genesis, as God led me, I found myself in Genesis chapter 3. So in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And then he went on to bring order on the earth. So the Bible says that the earth was dark and it was void. And there was disorder, there was no order. And so God by his spirit, he spoke his word, and with his word, he said, "Let there be light." And the light came and brought order to the earth. And then God went on to create. And so then he made the garden, and in the garden, he made the different creatures, and then he made man in his image. And so he said to man, he brought about order. He said to man, "I give you dominion over all the things I've made." And that was the order of God. And that was his word. So the word of God came, it brought order, and it created. And then he established his order by ordering Adam. Amen? And so when we read on to chapter 3, chapter 3, verses 13, God then speaks again, and the Bible tells us that an incident happened in the garden. The woman was being idle, and a serpent came to her, a very naughty serpent came to her, and began to speak to her. And this serpent, unfortunately, did not like the order that God had already placed. And so he decided to cunningly try and trick her to see if he could disorder things just a little bit. Because he wanted things to be in an other order, a different order to that which God's word had spoken and manifested. And so the Bible tells us that she took a bite from a fruit that she was not supposed to take a bite from. And we know the story. I won't bore you with it. And then God spoke again to the woman because he realized that there was a disorder. There was something wrong with the woman. And so he approached her. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done? Woman, The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And so the Lord God said to the servant, to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And so God, by his word, came and he brought order to the disorder that was. So here is God speaking to the woman, and he's reestablishing his word. And so he's saying to the woman, actually, this is how things ought to be. And so he orders things back into order. The woman shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise her heel. And by doing this, things will come back into order. So the Bible tells us that God then began to bring his plan into fruition. And so there it was, the story of humanity. And then I will skip very quickly onto Abraham. God calls him out because he had a plan. And through Abraham, he wanted to bring about his word. He wanted to establish his order. So there was Abraham. And then we have Isaac and Jacob and then David. And then through David, he reveals a part of his plan. But his plan was still concealed. So he tells David that through you, I will bring one who will sit on the throne forever. And so there is the story of Israel. I won't go too much into detail of it because we don't have enough time. But this then takes us onto the story of Mary. Mary. So Mary is part of this story. She's part of God's plan. So God calls Mary just as he called the woman many, many years ago and told her what plan he had. And so here is Mary, a young woman, whose story I'm actually very fascinated by. And just to bring this down to earth a little bit, I mean, we were all introduced to the story of Mary from a very young age. I mean, if you were, okay, I won't do this, but majority of us were introduced, whether you were brought up non-Christian, you were introduced to Mary. It's hard to escape her story, right? For me, I was not introduced to Mary by the story of Nativity. My introduction to Mary was very different to most of you. I actually remember Mary as a statue in my nan's room, a statue I would often see in the Catholic Church. So my very earliest memory of Mary is I remember walking into my nan's room at the very young age of 5, every single morning, and my nan would be seated on her bed with the rosary, praying, and she would be repeating this prayer, speaking to this woman. And I remember looking to the right of the room, her bed was on the left, and to the right of the room, you'd see this small statue on a table with a cloth. And my earliest memory of Mary is actually this picture of my nan. The second memory I can actually bring up in my mind of Mary is of my nan screaming at my uncle, pointing towards the statue and saying to him, "I put my money here, right underneath this statue, where is it gone?" That's the second memory I have of Mary. I remember her to be not only my nan's secret stash, statue that hid her money, but Mary was also very vague to me. So she was someone I was always fascinated by. So I wondered, what was it about Mary that, you know, caused people to talk about her during Christmas? And this story was told over and over again that Mary had a son, she had a baby. But when I came to know Jesus, I came to understand that Mary was not just a woman. Mary was not just my nan's. Mary was not just the woman that my nan revered so much that she hid her money under her statue. But Mary was the mother of my Savior. And I say all of this to say this, that throughout my journey as a Christian, the story of Mary graduates. So the more I know the Lord, the more Mary's story graduates. So as I became to know the Lord, I realized that actually, Mary was the mother of my Savior. And then I asked myself, how could this young woman be the mother of my God? Have we not all asked that question? Have you not come to that place where, you know, you hear the story of Mary and then you ask yourself, how can a woman bear God? Am I the only one who asked that question? How can a woman bear God? That's a bit, to think of it, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But then I realized through understanding God's word that it was actually God revealing his love for us. In revealing his love for us, he came down and made himself like man. And he hid himself in the womb of the woman. It was a miracle. And so no matter how you were introduced to Mary, I'm sure as you've graduated in your life as a Christian, you've come to know Mary as someone different every time you've encountered her story. Amen? And so Mary, this young woman, she is in the center of God's plan, in the center of his story. Mary is honestly so interesting as a character that it's hard to really pinpoint and to understand why God would have chosen this woman. Very little is said about her. Very little is said about Mary. And in the book of Luke, we read what we know about Mary, that she was a very young woman. She was a virgin. And in fact, the Bible doesn't introduce her by her name. It introduces her as a virgin and then later on tells us her name. She was engaged to be married to a man called Joseph, a well-respected man of the house of David. And Mary was from a very humble background, a Nazarene she was. However you looked at the story of Mary, it was either really highly romanticized or very highly humanized. No matter where I looked, no matter what I read in my research, I saw that the story of Mary was highly romanticized in that we looked at her as the carrier of our Savior. She did this amazing thing where she was chosen by God, and through her, God did this amazing miracle. And there she was, this woman. And that's all we hear about her when her story is romanticized. She was a carrier of God's miracle. When her story is humanized, we focus on everything she sacrificed. We focused on everything that she had to give up. And yes, Mary had to give up a lot. But today I want to look at Mary from a different standpoint. I want to look at Mary's spiritual experience. I want to look at why Mary believed the angel. I want to look at her just a little bit closer to see what she saw, what made her believe in God's word. What made Mary believe in God's word? This 14-year-old virgin who was engaged to be married at the peak of her life. I mean, everything was about to work out for her. Everything looked good. It was amazing. She was going to have this wonderful wedding in 1 year. Something that a Jewish girl like her would have looked forward to in those times. And here comes this angel, because the Bible says the angel came in. I mean, to Zechariah, the angel appeared. No wonder he was frightened. but to Mary, the angel came in to where she was. And it's often shown to us on movies that he appeared at the window. But the Bible actually says he came in. But I'm fascinated by Mary's reaction to the angel. Unlike Zacharias, she's not frightened at all. And Gabriel, his appearance to Zacharias was not his first. He'd actually appeared to Daniel in the book of Daniel. And the Bible says that Daniel dreamt a dream and the angel appeared to him. And when the angel appeared to him and his friends, it was actually him and his friend who were in a room, and he thought it was a vision. But the angel Gabriel appeared to him with the answer or the translation of a dream that he had had, that he'd been praying for the translation of. And the Bible says that he was frightened, and so were his friends, and they all fled. And the Bible actually tells us that Daniel looked behind him and his friends were no more there. And he had to encounter Gabriel on his own. And the same thing happened with Zacharias. When he came to realize that the angel was there, the angel Gabriel was in his presence, he was frightened, he was fearful. So I asked myself, Mary, a young 14-year-old virgin, what was it about this woman? What did she know that made her stand in the presence of God's angel and not even fear? I mean, if an angel was to appear in here, I think I might be the first by the door, to be honest. I might be the first by the door. But Mary stood her ground. If anything, the Bible tells us that she was actually fascinated by what he said to her. And the Bible's very descriptive. I don't think Luke would have missed out because he's very detailed in the way he writes. But he clearly states that she was not surprised until he had actually greeted her. She was surprised by what he said, not his actual presence. What does this tell us about Mary? What does it tell us about Mary? I believe it tells us that Mary was someone who was spiritual. I believe it tells us that Mary was someone who knew her God. I believe it tells us that Mary was someone who had heard much about what God had done. She knew her God and she knew what he was able to do. She knew her history. She knew the word of God. Because if she hadn't, I'm sure the Bible would have shown us that she was changed by the presence of this angel. But she was not changed. Her countenance was not changed. She was not frightened. Her emotions were not moved. If anything, she was surprised by the greeting he gave her. In verse 29, it says, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered, what manner of greeting is this?" What kind of greeting is this? Amen. But Mary knew her God. And how do I know this? The Bible tells us that after she'd encountered the angel, that he pronounced all of what he pronounced to her, that the Spirit of God shall come up to you. Blessed and highly favored are thou. The Spirit of God shall come upon you. You shall bear a son, and he shall be called the Son of God. And he professes all of what will happen. And Mary's not moved. Her response to him is, "Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. Whatever you say." Her only question to him was, "But how would it happen? How's God going to do this? How will I get pregnant? How's the baby going to come about?" Not, "What's going to happen to my engagement?" Not, "What are people going to say?" Because as most of you know, in those times, for you to be found in the act of adultery, or for you to have been found to be pregnant when you are engaged to be married within the year of your engagement. So let me explain for those of you who are not quite familiar with the story of Mary. Okay, so Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, and engagement in those times meant that for the length of a year, you were to stay in your engagement and you were to prove your loyalty to your partner through that year of remaining pure. And then after a year of engagement, you would get married. And so what this meant is that through her engagement, as the Holy Spirit comes up on Mary, she gets pregnant. As the pregnancy is revealed, she would then look like she'd been with a man. And this would mean in those times that Mary would not only be disowned by her parents, she would be laughed at. She would be judged, looked down upon. She would be seen as an adulterous woman, one who's not worthy to be trusted, she would have been even stoned, which is the worst punishment you can receive for such an act. And Joseph, being an honorable man of society of that time, someone who was well respected, I'm sure the word would have gone a long way. And so here is Mary facing this. She's not moved at all. She's actually wondering, how is God going to do this miracle? Her only concern was, how is God going to do it? How is he going to do it? How's he going to move? What's going to happen? What's the plan? How do we get on with this? Come on, let's go. According to me, let it be done. If they stone me, then they can stone me. If I die, then I die. But how is God going to do what he wants to do? How is God's plan going to come to pass? I'm happy. Yeah, let's go. Let's do this, Gabriel. Not even, who are you, first of all? Why are you here? And are you going to protect me? Are you going to tell the people? She doesn't ask. She doesn't ask. How is God going to do it? Let's go. So shall it be unto me, according to your word. According to your word. Mary's reaction tells us a lot about the kind of woman that she was. So in verse 48, verse 54, and verse 56, I read. Here is Mary singing a song to Gabriel. Sorry, here is Mary singing a song after her encounter with Gabriel. So the Bible tells us that after her encounter, she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. So we heard last week what had happened, that God had prophesied to Zacharias through the angel Gabriel and told him that his wife will bear a son who would be a forerunner to the Savior, that he shall profess the day of the Lord. He shall profess the word of the Lord. He shall be a forerunner to Messiah. And so the angel reveals this to Mary, not in detail, but he tells her that your cousin will bear a son. Your cousin will have a son. And your cousin, who is barren, is now pregnant. And so go and see her. And so Mary rushes to go and see her cousin. And the Bible tells us that as Mary greets her cousin, that her cousin leaps with joy and prophesies. Sorry, the baby in her cousin's womb leaps with joy, and her cousin prophesies to Mary. And I read verse 39. Now Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So Mary receives this prophecy from Elizabeth, and she sees the miracle God has done. Her cousin is pregnant. Her cousin is with child. And here is a prophecy confirming what she'd heard from the angel. And so Mary burst out in songs. Her cousin is now confirming, yes, you will bear a child. Yes, your engagement is probably in jeopardy. Yes, you are holding this very gift that God has said he would give you. And so Mary burst into a song, and here is her song. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has granted the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generation will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty and the thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her cousin 3 months and then returned to her house. Here is Mary rejoicing at what God is doing in her life. Yes, Mary, your engagement is over. And at this time, bear in mind, she had not heard from Joseph. So as far as she's concerned, she's now about 14, 15. She's pregnant. She's had an angel visit her. Her engagement is over. She's now to be this person set apart for God. She's now to live a holy life for the rest of her life. She's carrying Messiah. She's carrying God. God's servant. She's carrying God as far as she knew anyway at the time. So here is Mary rejoicing. What does that tell you about Mary? What does that tell you about Mary? If not that she knew God, if not that she loved God, if not that she accepted God, if not that she had agreed with God's plan for her life, in spite of the cost. In spite of what it meant for her, in spite of the shame that she might have to endure, in spite of what this meant for her as a woman, Mary's reaction to what God had said. Mary knew God's plan for humanity. She was aware of who her God was. As she professed in her song, she said, "Lord, You remembered what you said, what you spoke to the fathers. You remember what you spoke to Abraham, and you remember what you said about his seed forever. You remembered what you spoke to David. You remember your plan to humanity. God, you remember what you said to the woman in the garden. You remember that you would bring back order. You remember, Lord, that you would save your people. You remember the word you had spoken years and years ago, even before I was conceived. You remember your plan." And here is Mary in agreement with God about what he was going to do. Mary knew God's plan, and she was pleased with his plan. Although she had not known the full revelation of God's plan, she agreed with what God was doing in her time, in her day. She agreed with God. Amen? But it's my belief that Mary was not an ordinary girl. Mary was someone who was filled with the Spirit of God. She was set apart by God. I believe that Mary had more than just one encounter with God. I believe Mary was a praying girl. I believe that Mary believed in God. I believe that all was said about Mary was not all that there was to know about Mary. I believe Mary was a spiritual person. She knew her God. Amen? She knew her God. God's word and his plan for humanity was far more important to Mary than her own life. But we know that what has happened in the beginning, even what is happening in the end, and even now, has already been revealed. Just like Mary, we are confronted with such a message from heaven. We are confronted with such a message from heaven. For we know what happened in the beginning. We know what is happening now. But even more than that, we know what will come. We are confronted with such a message from heaven. By God's words, we are confronted. With the birth and the works and the words and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we are confronted. We are confronted by the print of his blood on our hearts. We are confronted with his Holy Spirit. We are met with this message of God. Mary had an encounter with the angel Gabriel, but we now have encounters with the Spirit of God. Amen? Mary had one encounter, but we have many encounters Sunday after Sunday. We have the Word of God and His truth revealed to us. We know the end. We know the beginning. We know the middle. We know the now. We know it all. We know more than Mary did. And in the book of Luke, sorry, that is my alarm. And in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 18 to 23, I read. Some of you are following, so I'll give you a moment. Luke chapter 10, verse 18 to 23. So here is Jesus. Mary has given birth to her son. She believed God's word. And so she experienced the impossible. She believed God's word, and here she experienced the impossible. And now here is God's living word speaking to his disciples. And Jesus turned to the disciples and replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it and hear it. But you hear, but did not hear it. Yes, we have given our lives to God. And here are the words of Jesus to his disciples. Many desired to hear what we hear. Many desired to know what we know. Many desired to see what we see. To see what Mary saw. And to know what she knew. But we know. So much has been revealed to us. The Bible said that we have such great a cloud of witness. We are surrounded by many angels. We have the Spirit of God at our disposal. He is available anytime, anywhere. We have the Spirit of God with us where we go, wherever we go. We have the very presence of God. Amen? We have the very presence of God. And yes, we have given our lives to God. And we have decided to make him our Savior. Yes, we understand his plan. And we've accepted his plan. We've decided to make him our Savior. But have we decided to obey his word, to partner with him in his plan of humanity? Like Mary, have we actually decided to partner with God? Because it's one thing to believe in God's word and accept him as Savior, but it's another thing to accept him as Lord. Amen? We've accepted Jesus as our Savior, but have we accepted him as our Lord? Is he Lord over our lives? Have we decided and committed to obey his word? Are we willing, just like Mary, to obey and make him Lord over us? To exchange our lives for his? To live as a living sacrifice? When we obey, it's not our will, but it is his will that we do. Not our plan, but it is his plan that we follow. Amen? When we obey, we do not dictate the how, the who, the when. But rather, there are no buts or ifs. It's the yes, Lord. It doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter how. It's the yes, Lord. In actual fact, when I look at Mary's story, I hear the angel saying to her, pick up your cross and follow me. Mary carried Jesus. She carried him in her womb. She carried Savior. And why did she carry Savior? Because there was a generation, hallelujah, that needed Savior, that needed Messiah. And so the Lord said to her, carry your cross and follow me, no matter the cost. No matter the cost, carry your cross and follow me. And so Mary did. She faithfully did. She picked up the cross and she ran with it. And then she delivered it. She delivered Messiah. Amen? She delivered Messiah. But the Lord is also calling us today to carry our cross and follow him. Because it's easy to accept Jesus as Savior, but it's harder to obey him and to accept him as Lord over our lives, just like Mary did. Are we willing to carry our cross? But why do we carry the cross? We carry the cross so that we can pass it on to the next person. Because guess what? There's a generation that needs Messiah. There's a people that need Messiah. Our families, some of them need Messiah. Pollard's Hill needs Messiah, PHBC. But are we willing to carry our cross, our portion of the cross, and follow Jesus, and follow Jesus, and follow Jesus? Are we willing to carry the Savior, just like Mary carried him in her womb? Are we willing to carry him so that we can deliver him to somebody else? Are we willing to be carriers of Christ, conduits of the cross? Passing it through to the next generation, to the next person, to the next family member, to the next friend, to the next colleague, to the next sister, to the next person in need. There's a lost generation who needs Jesus. Are we willing to carry the cross and follow him? You see, because when we obey, it's not our will, but it is his will, his plan for humanity. Because remember, God said, let there be light in the beginning. And there was light, and his light brought about order. And so he's saying today, carry your cross. That is our part of his plan. And as we carry the cross and we pass it on to the next person, guess what happens? They receive light. And an order comes about in their lives. Amen? It's part of God's plan. Every time you give Jesus to someone, you change their lives. You bring order. Amen? Just as Mary did. She carried Messiah. Do you carry Messiah? Or are you still holding on to the cross someone passed on to you? Is it leaning on you? Or are you carrying it? Are you carrying the cross? And if you're carrying it, who are you passing it over to? Don't keep it for yourself. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, pass it on. Someone needs it. Someone needs Messiah. Someone needs Jesus. There are no ifs or buts. Mary's faith was met with the confirmation from several witnesses that her spiritual experience was in fact reality, and it was already being manifested. You don't have a yes or a no. Guess what? Because God's plan will still come to fruition, whether you fall in line with it or not. God will still do what he needs to do. God still went ahead of Mary, and Elizabeth was already pregnant. John was already coming. The plan was already in line. Amen? But when Mary came into agreement with God, guess what? Favor. She experienced favor. Joseph was willing. He was willing. He understood. God had a plan. man. Amen. She met the wise man, and she met Anna, the prophetess in the temple. She met Simeon. So many good things happened. They went to Bethlehem. She gave birth. The wise men came. So many good things happened to Mary. She experienced God's favor. She experienced God's love. It wasn't easy, but guess what? I'm sure Mary would say it was worth it. Because here we are today, many years later, shouting about how favored she is. Highly favored she was. We know her even today. And every single year that there is around the entire world, we rejoice at Mary and her baby. She is highly favored. Amen? So today, will you accept to carry the Savior? Amen? And pass him on to the next person.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.